Okay. So we left off last week discussing the status of what's called lechem. So we mentioned that the Gemara's category was called pasav abikistin. Pasav abikistin is somewhere in between lechem and non-lechem, in the sense of if you eat a small amount of it, so then you treat it as regular mezonos, alamichim is no washing. If you eat a significant amount of it called kriyasuda, then everything changes, it becomes dinuk lechem, you have to wash, bench, amotzi, etc. So we have two things to define. We have to define what exactly is pasav abikistin, and we have to define how much is going to be required to change and transform it to become real lechem. So in terms of what is pasav abikistin, we mentioned quickly at the end of the shiur last week that there were three different examples given in Rishonim. Some Rishonim describe pasav abikistin as being something which is has a kiss, has a pocket to it, like a filling to it, such as apple pie, cherry pie. Other Rishonim describe it as something which has spices, flavorings in the dough, such as honey cake. Another Rishonim described as being a crackery kind of a food, like crackers. So those are the three possibilities in the modern world. So the Beis Yosef quotes these three different opinions, and he writes that l'halacha, we have to assume that all three of these opinions are correct. Why is that, says the Beis Yosef? Because if the world, this is all dirim derabbanan anyway, just about. We think there's only derabbanan here. Just a question of whether you have to wash, make a motz, mezainus. So says the Beis Yosef, we have right to be make by dirim derabbanan. We often metriach a guy to bench, we metriach a guy to wash. And therefore, since any one of these three may be the real true pasav abikistin of Chazal, any one of these kinds of things can be treated lakula and just make a mezainus and al-michion enough to wash and call it a day. So notwithstanding the Beis Yosef's presentation of the sugya, there are other acharonim who come to the same conclusion of Beis Yosef, alav mitameh. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Be'alochi quotes from one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Maimon Mordechai, who concludes similar to the Beis Yosef, that the mice, all of the above, are considered to be mezainus, but for entirely different lomdos. Maimon Mordechai says that pasav abikistin is not actually an example. It's not like cherry pie is the pasav abikistin and others are not. It's not that the honey cake is and the others are not. It's not that the crackers are and the others are not. The principle of pasav abikistin basically just means something which is a snacky kind of food, not a meal kind of food. Different Rishonim would just give you different teichas. In society of some Rishonim, so a cherry pie was a good example of pasav abikistin. Another place is saw honey cake as the example. Another place is saw crack. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. They're all right. Whatever in that time and place, whatever in that locale, people view as a snack rather than a meal, that is called pasav abikistin. So if we eat a piece of cherry pie, and then let's say Reuben eats cherry pie, and Shimon eats honey cake, and Levi eats crackers, it's not shot that one of them is right and the other two are wrong. We just don't know what to do because it's the same thing. They're all right. They're all mezainus. They're all amichim. You don't wash any of them because anything that's fundamentally snack versus meal, that is the defining feature of pasav abikistin. So a major machlokes, what leads us to the same conclusion? Halacha, everyone agrees that we're not going to have people wash and bench any of the above. Is it b'tara suffik? There is an official definition of pasav abikistin and the others are not. We just don't know which is which. But ultimately, all three of them are correct. So this is going to have some very, very serious ramifications to halacha. What would the halacha be if I find a particular food that happens not to fit in to one of these three categories? I can't pinpoint one of these three categories, but on the other hand, it's very, very snacky. What about mi'idachisa? What if I have something that actually does fit into one of these categories, but it's very, very much of a meal? So how do you define those kinds of foods that I just described? So if you go down the first route, that there's an official pasav abikistin, and it has to meet one of the three, and if it meets none of the three, so then that's not pasav abikistin. But if you go down the route that these are just examples, and you could theoretically meet those criteria, the criteria of a snack, even without meeting the particular illustration, then it will be different. And vice versa, you can have something that has the physical characteristics of one of these three foods, but lemaisa, harik kozakol, is still a meal. So this fundamental shaila is the cause for many, many, many practical ramifications for us today. We'll just go through some of them. Of course, the most famous of all is the pizza shaila. What exactly is the status of pizza? Is pizza pasav abikistin, or is pizza pasgomo? If it's past Gomer, then of course you have to wash and bench on it, no question. If it's possible B'Kisnin, then you would have that window of Kdei Kibir Sud. Again, we don't know yet, we haven't defined what Kibir Sud is or is not, but at least we can discuss potentially sometimes not washing and benching on pizza. So what is pizza? So the chart depends on how you view this shalom. If you go down what the Beis Yosef seems to present, that there is a very, very specific category that has to be met, and we don't know which one it is, so if any of the above is sufficient. Pizza l'chora is the halacha equivalent of cherry pie. There's a filling to it. What's the difference whether the filling is flipped over and there's fruit inside, or whether it's a slice of bread with some cheese and sauce on top of it? You can tell me the difference between a pizza and a calzone. A calzone is like cherry pie. So a slice of pizza is a half a calzone. So it's, I don't know if the price is half a calzone, but it's a half a calzone. So it's like a half a cherry pie. So if you really believe that toppings and fillings are enough to be create a status of possible b'kisnin, then you may be willing to treat pizza as a possible b'kisnin. But if you go b'ikvas to Maamar Mordechai, that everything is a function of meal versus snack, so then if you want to know whether pizza is possible b'kisnin, I don't care what it looks like. I only care about one thing. You have to take a survey of people and ask them, when do you eat pizza? What's the norm in today's world to eat pizza? So I think it's pretty obvious. In today's world, it's kind of hard to tell when anyone eats anything because nobody's eating anything anywhere these days. But back in the pre-corona days, when people would actually walk at the pizza stores and sit down and have pizza, so you think about it, when was most pizza consumed? You go to the pizza store lunchtime and dinner time, it's crowded. You go in 3 o'clock in the afternoon, unless you're in the pizza store crossing for MTA. That's already a whole other set of rules. But if you're in a regular, I don't mean in a bad way, regular, normal, society. That was not meant as a degradation of anything. So it's obvious. Pizza stores are crowded during lunch. The crowd during dinner time, they're up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. People generally don't view pizza as a snack. If that's the case, then it seems like it's a no-brainer that pizza in America, and I guess probably throughout the world, pizza is a meal. And a pizza is a meal, if the Baron Mordechai is right, then it's a motzi. It's a non-starter. You can't even begin to discuss the notion of it being potentially mizonos. If you go down the first route, then pizza be ikaron is possible b'kisnin. Then you have to discuss kibir sudas. Then you have to figure out what kibir suda is or is not. So then we have to, that's the second thing for the shiur today. Another presumably nafkamina would be the age-old question of the misnomer called mizonos rolls. Does that concept even exist in halacha? A concept of mizonos rolls. So what's made the mizonos roll? I take flour, I mix it with other kinds of things, maybe I mix it with fruit juices, other kinds of things, and I bake it in a way that looks the same as a challah roll. It tastes like a challah roll. You can put a slice of salat in it, make a sandwich out of it. I would venture to say that most people do not snap on mizonos rolls. When you're hungry in the middle of the night, you go, ooh, let me go grab a mizonos roll to snack on. That's not, even if you tell some of those who think it's mizonos, they don't usually view it as a snack. Haraya, when they serve it on the plane, it says on the plane, this is a mizonos roll. So we all know what that means. And the companies that say, and this is a motzi roll, so what do they say? This is a motzi roll, so either wash, or they'll tell you, well, maybe have it as a snack. Like, who's eating these rolls as a snack at 2 o'clock in the morning on a plane? Who's eating them ever on the plane? So l'chora, a mizonos roll, is a classic suda. If you're willing to accept the idea that possible b'kisnin, if it meets one of those criteria, irrelevant to whether it's a yisud or not, that could still be a possible b'kisnin, then we can discuss mizonos. I didn't say we're going to paskin that there are mizonos yet, because we haven't even begun to discuss the issue of kriya suda. But at least for ikaron, we can open up a discussion. Whereas if you hold that the Maamar Mordechai is ultimately correct, the Be'er Halacha does quote this Maamar Mordechai in a few places. If you go down the route of this Maamar Mordechai, then the case is closed. There's nothing at all to negotiate, nothing to discuss. The same way there's nothing to discuss about pizzas and calzones, there's nothing to discuss about mizonos rolls. L'chora, a third question should be matzah. What's matzah? So if you go down the first route, that the possible b'kisnin can mean any one of these categories, so then matzah is a classic little biscuits, little crackery kind of food. So then matzah l'chora would be potentially mizonos. So we don't do that. None of us, I don't think, maybe some svarim make mizonos and matzah, but most of us are shalav, never have heard of making mizonos and matzah. From the fact that we make hamotzi and matzah, it sounds almost like we're committing ourselves to this theory. Matzah is a no-brainer. Of course it's pas. Aye, but it's theoretically one of the three categories. The categories don't really matter. What matters is meal versus snack. When was the last time you were hungry? 3 o'clock in the morning, you went downstairs. Ooh, I found a piece of matzah to munch on. You find a piece of brownie to munch on. Find a piece of cherry pie to munch on. You're not going to munch on maybe a cracker. You're not going to munch on a piece of matzah. Matzah is very, very, very meal oriented. If that's the case, that matzah we're viewing through the eyes of Pasuk Gomor, the Mechorah makes no difference whether it's regular matzah or it's egg matzah. Egg matzah. Allah Hashem is the egg matzah. Egg matzah is, first of all, it's not even egg matzah. It's really apple juice matzah. So if you have fruit juice matzah, why should that change the status? Nobody snacks on apple juice matzah. No one snacks on fruit juice. No one snacks on egg matzah. Egg matzah is a b'yuchat for meals also. So the notion that, oh, if you eat egg matzah, and you have to eat 16,000 pieces of egg matzah in order to have a kriya suda, because it's possible to kiss him, that doesn't seem to be correct. If you go the first route, that somehow putting other things, other flavorings can change your worldview of this food, then we can negotiate egg matzah. But we who don't accept that, Svara, because Lamaisa were treating regular matzah, which also could have potentially been negotiated as possible because then. So we're assuming that regular matzah is Pasgomor. So then egg matzah should be the same. This is going to become very important for this year. It's a Shabbos. Rebesh Chalas B'Shabbos. So Rebesh Chalas B'Shabbos, we know there's the age-old question, how in the world do you pull off Suda Shabbos? So there's a big problem, logistical problems, that my whole house is kosher Pesach. I don't want to have real chametz, so I'll eat egg matzahs. I can't eat real matzah, because matzah can't eat the matzah during Pesach. So I'll eat egg matzahs. Why are you letting egg matzahs during Pesach? So that's the Rebbeinu Tam in the realm. The Rebbeinu Tam says, the beginning of Rabbi Pesach, and quotes from Rebbeinu Tam, that the issue of eating matzah during Pesach is only matzah that's one of the kachal yetzim in the Seder. Since you can't be yetzim egg matzah anyway, because it's not lechemoni, it's matzah shira, so Rebbeinu Tam says you can eat it in Erev Pesach. So it happens to be that the Rambam disagrees with that on twofold. Because first of all, the Rambam holds that's not true. The Rambam Pasha holds that just because you can't eat matzah, it doesn't mean that you can't violate the issue of eating matzah in Erev Pesach. Eating matzah in Erev Pesach is to create that heker for the matzah of say there, but it's not a perfect heker. It's the issue of the Rabbanan. Pasha told me the issue of the Rabbanan, eat matzah in Erev Pesach. The issue of the Rabbanan wasn't only said on the matzah, really, kach with the say. It's called matzah. This is matzah. According to Rebbeinu Tam, if you bake matzah shalom l'shma, so you can't use it for the Seder, so you can eat it on Erev Pesach. So some hotels years ago that used to do that. When Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, used to bake the matzah shalom l'shma. Make sure you don't mix them up with the regular matzahs. But if you have matzahs that were baked shalom l'shma, then theoretically you can eat it on Erev Pesach. So the Rambam says, Mapitan. Rambam says that if it looks like matzah, tastes like matzah, smells like matzah, well, that's a matzah. You can't be yetz because of lechemayni. Then the Rambam has to also hold that our egg matzahs are also to eat in Erev Pesach, because the Rambam holds you can be yotzei matzah with our egg matzahs, because our egg matzahs are made out of apple juice. The Rambam sheet happens to be that when the Gemara says in the seventh berakh of Pesachim that you can't be yotzei with matzah shira, well, a seder, it's not lechamoni, the Rambam holds not all fruit juices create matzah shira. Only very, very specific ones. Grape juice does, and milk does, and olive oil does, and honey does, but apple juice doesn't. And therefore, according to the Rambam, our apple juice matzahs, most egg matzahs are apple juice matzahs, you could take yaitzi with them, but the same. They're okay for matzahs, that's not a chesed of lechamayni. So yeah, we don't postulate that Rambam, but according to the Rambam, it will come out for twofold reason you shouldn't be eating egg matzahs that are basic. Number one, the Rambam holds our egg matzahs are not really matzah shira altogether. And number two, the Rambam holds even if they were matzah shira, it wouldn't help, because the Rambam shita, he disagrees with Rebbeinu Tam. There was a whole push years ago to try to bake matzahs that would be good even according to the Rambam in Erev Pesach. So instead of making apple juice matzahs, they started making grape juice matzahs. They didn't want to make purple grapes, because then the matzahs are going to look purple, it's going to look silly, so they made white grape juice. So when you go to the store, you'll see in the egg matzah section, which you probably shouldn't be looking at anyway, but in the egg matzah section, so you notice there are apple juice matzahs and there are grape juice matzahs. What's the mild of the grape juice matzahs? The mild is that according to the Rambam, those are mutiri in Erev Pesach. But it's not correct, because according to the Rambam, even those are not mutiri in Erev Pesach. The Machmirim who insisted on eating the apple juice, they wanted Dafka to bake grape juice matzahs to make it better for the Rambam to eat it on Erev Pesach B'Shabbos in the morning. So they went out of their way to start a whole production line of grape juice matzahs to be answered to the Rambam. They didn't really answer the Rambam, because the Rambam holds anyway you can eat, even if it's really matzah shir, even if it's made with oil, with honey, things that are real matzah shir according to the Rambam, you still can't eat it, because the Rambam doesn't buy into the Tam's own kula of non-acceptable matzahs to be acceptable on Erev Pesach. That's just an aside. So when the Olam Pilpul is about using egg matzahs for the Chanishna on Friday night, Shabbos morning, or for early Shabbos Shuddis, when the Olam Pilpul is about that, so one of the monkey wrenches some place came through at us was, no, you can't do that. You know why? because we use the egg matzahs. You have to eat a tremendous amount of egg matzah in order to be yotze, you see the Shabbos, in order to be able to wash the bench, because it's possible to be kisser, and you need a sufficient mikveh suda on it. So the chora, that's not luchach at all. Chora, that svara to insist that the egg matzahs have to be so much because they have the deficiency of matzah possible to be kisser is probably not in sync with our entire theory about possible to be kisser. We who wash on pizza, we who wash on mezeinu shelos, we wash in regular matzah, we can wash in regular matzah also. Chorit's knows. Based on this, and also the idea that some pizza stores have this notion that we're going to make pizza that's going to be possible to kiss in by simply putting other ingredients into it. We're not going to make it with flour and water. We're going to throw milk into the dough. We're going to throw apple juice into the dough. We all kind of different kunsim to be mafkir the shem lechem from it. According to what we're saying, none of this even gets off the ground. Because lamaisa, it's a meal. I don't care what you did to the bell. It's a meal, it's a meal, it's a meal. I remember it used to be Uri's Pizza in Rishalayim. There used to be a big sign. I don't know whether I know Uri's is still there. I don't know where the sign is still there. There used to be a big sign that said that our pizza we don't make kamotzion. And it says, Beferish, and we wash him at Zebechalav. That we need the dough with milk. So that doesn't take on the status of pasta. It's only a possible kiss. And we have one or two slices. You don't have to worry about it. That was a Pesach and Uri's Pizza many, many years ago. Anyone did Uri's Pizza recently? Probably not in the last 8 months. But before that, anyone been there? Well, recently did they? I don't remember. So I remember years ago when I was in Kebiyam, I used to have you once in a while. I'd be hopping around Google on a Friday. So I would run in to grab a piece of pizza. And he used to look at that sign. So he used to always go and wash, notwithstanding what it said on the sign. It was hard to find a cup because they weren't even dairies that someone would be chodik inside, so they didn't even put a cup in the Tosidah. So I had to get a paper cup. That's for sure no good. So here I was, a 20-year-old kid from Kebiyavne. I would come to the pizza and I would sit down and go wash and have my slice of pizza. So I remember there was a little Yerushalmi kid, maybe this big, and he was skewing me a whole Musa Shmuz. I was sitting and washing. He said to me, "Ata lo yadeich lekrow." So you don't know how to read. So it says there, Hamizonis. Then he said, "Is that Walter?" Hamizonis. Okay, I know how to crow. I know. Okay, then you know there the crow. I know how to read. Yeah. Tell him to machlek is because I said that. What happened? He wasn't good. It wasn't too interesting. Some of the Hasidic hashkachas are very into this idea. Those who give the, they give you the freebie and the mezainis rolls, all the ones that write on the packs of food. But these are mezainis rolls, so they're all assuming like that whole halach, which again, many of us don't accept. There is a story, I don't know whether it's true or not. There's a story about Rabbi Lichtenstein. He was once on a flight and he got up to wash for the mezainis roll. So the stewardess obviously had no idea who he was. So she explained to him, she said, no, you don't really have to wash. It says on the thing that we it's mezonos, you don't have to wash. So he said, no, I understand, thank you so much, I'm going to wash anyway. So apparently the way, the story may be apocryphal, I don't know, the story goes that she said to him, sir, when you get to Israel, you should really ask your rabbi whether what you're doing is correct or not. Okay, so I'll come upon him. So between the El Asturis and Lashitasaf, they hold like the Chassidish kid in there. They don't have much in common, but at least they have. At least they're both wholesome at least. Okay. So back to that story. Up to now, we've been talking about those kinds of foods that are meal kind of foods, but they have some of the characteristics of the otherwise possible kistin. Like going to my Mordechai, that's not going to help us. What about the other way around? What if you have a food that doesn't have any of the characteristics of any of the three categories, but lamais, it's a snack. We know it's a snack. So what would you say about such a food? So what's a good example of that? Something that it doesn't have a filling to it. It doesn't have any other flavorings in the dough. It's not thin. It's a good example? A good hot pretzel. A geschmack hot pretzel. So a good hot pretzel, it's a good soft one. It's like a challah roll. It's baked like a challah roll. It's not a thin cracker. There's no filling to it. No flavorings. So l'chora, it should be, it's not one of those three examples. So if it's not one of those three examples, the question is it really possible to kiss it? So here the Maror Mordechai is going to help us. Because according to the Maror Mordechai, at the end of the day, you don't have to really ask yourself whether it's one of the examples. What you really have to ask yourself is it a meal or is it a snack? What's the answer? It's a snack. When was the last time you sat there? Oh, today's lunch. I'm going to sit and have a hot pretzel. You have a hot pretzel at a ball game. Are they still serve it in the kosher stands? Anyone been to a ball game in the last 8 months? Anyone been to a ball game? Okay. So in the old days, back in the old Friedrich days, when we used to go to the stadiums, back for the Daf Yomi museums. So the last time we were in a stadium. So the time before, that was 7.5 years before. So they served me the hot pretzels in the kosher stands. So Lahora, here the sheet is a flip. If you hold that you don't have to wash on pizza, so you're basically not a Maimon Mordechai person. So then Lahora, you have to wash on a hot pretzel. Whereas if you hold that you do have to wash on pizza, then you don't have to wash on a hot pretzel. It's almost a flip shayla, because pizza is a category without the yisod of snacks, whereas these are snacks without the yisod of categories. So Maisa Shayla Kachoyel. So the story goes back more than 20 years ago. It goes back when I first got married. So I used to, right after we got married, I used to teach in Stern. I used to teach the Shabbos shiur and some other shiur. One night a week, I would go down to Stern some semester. I taught one class, two classes, these are longer classes. So on one occasion, I was going up the elevator class. And one of the young ladies, I was my student, one of the young ladies in the elevator asked me, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She asked me, what bracha do you make on a soft pretzel? So I said to her, what bracha do you make on pizza? So I saw her wheels were turning. Ah, she's going to say to me, I make mazona, so that rabbi's going to be makel, man. So she said, I make mazona. I said, well, then you have to wash. So it was a good thing I took me like up to flight, you know, up to the 12th floor, so I explained to her. I don't know if I gave all the lumbus. So I wouldn't necessarily remember that story, but I'll tell you what was the most remarkable part of that story was Rabbi Lam, Allah Mashallah, was in the elevator at the time. And he was privy to that conversation, and he was fascinated by the conversation. I remember his eyes were like gleaming from the conversation, that this is what happens in the Stern elevator. Like, wow, unbelievable. Now you find out I'll go in the elevator more than one person, so you couldn't have too many conversations. But in the old days, when you had 30 people in the elevator, this was it's Gavaldik. He was so excited. I saw him just getting nachas. So when after it was Niftar a few months ago, so I wrote some Divrei Nechama to his children, so I sent them an email. So I wrote over that story. I said I think that story encapsulates everything that your father lived for and strived for and worked for. So for him to be able to have the nachas to hear that this is what the young ladies and the rabbanim, they're asking the shaylas and giving the answers and understanding, a deeper understanding of halacha, all revolving around what brought me pretzel. I said this was the ultimate of his nachas. So his children were very, very appreciative. They really, the story hit them, made them all. Really, really appreciate it. I remember I once years ago I gave a shiur in Eretz Yisrael while you were having like a, it was like a Shabbaton for why you were loving the living in Eretz Yisrael. I was one of the guest speakers once I was there. So I gave a shiur on Shabbos for a whole group of YU women living in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Lam was at the shiur. And the theme of the whole weekend was, you know, the Chazal, authority, and that kind of, you know, very non-controversial kind of stuff. So I spoke a little bit about you know, under what circumstances, you know, Shinu Ibn Halacha, how can one Bezin overturn the Pesach, another Bezin, the Rambam, Yushalmi, you know, why can't we argue with the Gemara, and why the Tanoi Ibn Amorah, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I quoted the famous Briskarov in Chumash, where the Briskarov talks about the story of Rus and the Goyal and Boaz, the whole razzle dazzle Shemot Torah, about that the Goyal was afraid that even if Boaz was right, that Moabim le Moabis, maybe that Pesach is going to be overturned in a later Beis Din. So he was afraid to marry her, not because he thought he was doing wrong. He was afraid that who knows what's going to happen in 20 years from now, another Beis is going to argue with Boaz. So Biskabov, Kedaka Bakayish explains that the machlekes Boaz and the Goel was not is Moabim or Moabis. Everyone agrees that's the din. The machlekes was, is that was that a drosha that's nitot l'machlekes and nitot l'chazara, and it could be a later bezin that's going to undermine that? That's what the girl was concerned about. So Boaz was al-Khadish, no, it's halacha moshe b'Sinai. And it's halacha moshe b'Sinai, that's not a chelik ha-Torah that can ever be overturned. So if you have something that's learned from a kama chomer from a drasha, so another bezin come and overturn it. But something that's halacha moshe b'Sinai can never ever be overturned. So he has a whole shtickle Torah with the medrash, shita, a whole vassal down the shtickle Torah. It's also interesting, fascinating, Biskarab. It's in the back of the Chadish of Mizon Chomesh, and he has a couple of pieces on the Megillos. So I told over that Biskarab in order to highlight this idea that there's sometimes there's some halacha in Torah that could be subject to a Beis Din later overturning, and there are other parts of Torah. No Beis Din could ever come and say Tefillin are not square. That's what we're seeing, and then the game's over. But if one Beis Din possibly come a Chomer, a later Beis Din years later can overturn themselves. So I told over this whole Priska Rav. So Rabbi Lamb was sitting there at the Shir, and after the Shir, he came over and he said that he didn't know this Priska Rav. It's tucked away in the back of Chumash Agriz on Chumash. And he said to me, he was fascinated. He said he was so excited. He was mamish mispal from not from Mashiach, mispal from this vart from Priska Rav. He was so excited. So those are the two things that I had many interactions with Rabbi Shalom over the years. But these are the two that I always remember the most. About what brachim make of pretzels and Priska Rav and Megillos Rav. So in case anyone's interested, the connection between the two is nothing. Just these are the two things that Rabbi Lev happened to have caught his attention. Things that I spoke to him about over the years. Okay, back to our story. So the bottom line is that this shayla, this running shayla, about whether you're into this Mar Mordechai, as you said, or not, is going to impact Beinakulim and Chumrah. It's going to impact on what bracha you make on the pizzas and the calzones and the mazonis rolls and on the matzahs and the egg matzahs and the meidach kusa on the hot pretzels, so you can have svaras and kavu l'kavu. But even in terms of learning that we've identified something that is a classic possible kistin, so now what do we do with it? So it's not just a short thing that's mezonis. Now the Gemara says it depends on kamiya suda. So this leads us to the second part of our shiur, which I thought we'd start today, but we're not going to. Hopefully, we'll start next week. That we have to now reevaluate once we've identified a real possible kism, whatever that is, whether it's the cherry pie, whether it's the honey cake, whether it's the crackers, whether it's the whatever you think possible kism is. Now what? What constitutes kamiya suda? That's your next week. We'll try to look at that. Next week we probably won't have the shiur on Wednesday. We'll probably have to switch the day of the week. Is there any day that's not good for anybody? If I'd be the same time in another day, anything per se, I'll just go to whatever call. You guys will around anyway, right? No one's going these days. The good thing about these days is no one's going anywhere anyway. So I'll try to go to whatever call. But as of now, 10th will be probably next Wednesday, something next Wednesday afternoon. So if I have to be in another day. Okay, I'll be in touch.